overcoming all odds.
And today we'll be looking at the topic of grace. Grace. Overcoming all odds is my subject for the month. My topic this morning is grace. Grace. Our theme scripture, Psalm 34, verse 19. Psalm 34, verse 19. If you don't mind, can we please read it together? Psalm 34, verse 19. We'll find it on the screen. Let's go together. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The righteous has many afflictions. Many, in fact, not few, many. And I'm glad the Bible says the righteous have many. It's almost like an oxymoron. Huh? We believe it's the sinner who should have a lot of afflictions. No. The righteous is a target. The righteous, the born-again man, the born-again woman. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But I'm glad the Lord delivers the righteous out of all of them. Not even some, all of them. So I am confident that you and I will overcome every odd that the enemy or life has sanctioned against us in Jesus' name. Because of the promise says we overcome all of them. God has given us the ministry of angels to keep, protect, to fight for us, to help us, to deliver us, to guide us. We saw that last week. Today we shall discover another of the mighty weapons at our disposal to help us make it through all odds. And we'll be looking at the weapon of grace. I pray that you prepare your heart to receive. You know, the prophet Hosea will lament and say, on behalf of God, my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge will destroy us. Hosea 4:6. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's one thing you want to crave after. Is to crave after revelation, knowledge, how to. You realize it's not what happens to you that matters. No. It's how you handle what has happened to you. The same stone that would serve as a stepping stone for one person could also be a stumbling block for another, and yet it's the same stone. It depends on how you handle that particular stone. God wants you to make it through every odd. Make it through every challenge. In fact, if you could leave the sound, it would be nice. It's doing very well. God wants us to make it through every odd, every challenge. And grace is one of the things that will help us. I want to begin by saying there are two sets of giftings from God that God has given to man. We'll find them in Ephesians chapter 2. Please stand with me to Ephesians chapter 2. The first set of giftings, we'll find them in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love towards us. God is rich in mercy. The first set of gifts are mercy and love. Now, mercy and love, they are God's gifts given to every man, and they are free. Mercy is the word eleos, that's compassion, tender mercy, kindness, beneficence, an outward manifestation of pity. You know, sometimes you see somebody, oh, you pity the person. It's actually an outflow of eleos, which is pity, mercy. And this word is more used of God towards man and also man towards man. You have pity. God has pity on us. God, mercy flows from God to us. Mercy is a free gift that God gives to every man. Every human being enjoys mercy. Every human being. Love and mercy are two free gifts God gives to every man. And you find them in Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he has, which he loved us. So love and mercy, these two sets, they are free. God gives them to every man. Love is the same word, agape, the unconditional love that God has for the world. So every human being enjoys love and mercy from God. Every human being is free. That is why the mercy of God flows towards every human being. When that person will respond to the mercies of God and come to the cross, you are saved. There's no discrimination. For God so loved the world. He didn't say some of the world. Love and mercy are two free gifts God gives to every man. They're free. Everybody enjoys the love of God. Everybody enjoys the mercies of God. But there's a second set of gifts. Those ones you have to obtain. They are not free. You find them in verse 8 of Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The two other sets there, for by grace, is grace and through faith. Faith. Grace and faith are the second set of gifts, but they are not free. You must obtain them. You have to go get them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is obtained. It's not free. You listen to the word. You apply the word. Faith without works is dead. So you get faith. You put it to work. Faith comes by hearing. Faith is obtained. So is grace. So, grace is also obtained from God. Love and mercy, they are free towards every human being, but not grace and faith. So what is grace? Grace is just not a name that we give to our daughters. It would be a nice name to give to a boy, eh? Just, you know, if I have another boy, I'll call him Grace. Because after all, it's Grace, you know. It's not feminine, it's not masculine, it's Grace. All right, somebody should try it. What is grace? Grace is God's ability that comes to a person to help that person do what he otherwise could not do by themselves. Grace is God's ability. The ability of God that comes upon you to do what you otherwise couldn't do by yourself. I know every one of us believe, and rightfully so, and we limit grace only to salvation, but I'm here to tell you it's not so. Grace goes beyond salvation. In fact, the Bible is very clear.
We just read in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are we saved. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't. Is there anyone here who could save yourself? We couldn't save ourselves. So God gave us grace through faith for us to be saved. We couldn't do it ourselves. So grace helped us to overcome the problem of sin and receive salvation. Grace is for you to do what you otherwise could not do on your own. Whatever you can do on your own, with your own might and your power, you don't need grace for it. But whatever you can do, only by the help of God, then you need grace for it. So grace is the ability of God that comes upon you to be able to do that which you otherwise couldn't do by yourself. Please, I want this to sink in. Thank you. I want this to sink in. When it sinks in, it makes the subject that I'm teaching very, very easy. Grace is the ability of God that helps you to do what you otherwise couldn't do by yourself. Look at the many things you can't do by yourself. Do you know I can't preach by myself? It takes me going to God to obtain grace for me to stand behind this pulpit every single time. I don't know how many years I've preached. Started preaching from age 15. But I never get used to it. Every time I have to climb the pulpit anywhere in the world to preach, I feel like I haven't done it before. And I have to sit before God and stay there until I've received enough grace. And when it's time to go, then I go. If you can sing without grace, you're in trouble. If you can minister without grace, you're in trouble. Whatever you can do on your own without the grace of God is in the flesh. Everything that you do must be done by the grace of God. And I'll get into it later as we go into the subject. But suffice it to know right now that grace is for the areas where you yourself can't do it. You need the help of God. Can you yourself heal the sick? No, talk to me. Can you heal the sick? So you realize to minister to the sick, you need the grace of God. In fact, you need the grace of God to help you even live a daily Christian life. You know, every time we say, how are you? Oh, by grace, I'm well. But today I want you to get into the reason why we say by grace. Because grace is God's ability, God's strength, God's enablement that comes upon you to do that which you otherwise couldn't do by yourself. Something you couldn't do by yourself. Salvation. Romans 3:4. Paul talks about how grace helped him. He says, certainly, not indeed. Let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and overcome. 3:24. Romans 3:24. Thank you. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are justified freely by grace. We could never become just on our own. We needed the help of God. So the grace of God came and we became born again. Now you understand why you are born again by grace. Amen? That is why it is not by works. You can't work your way into salvation. You can't be so good until you become born again. No. But when you are born again, afterwards, we are born again unto good works. But it's not good works that brings us salvation. It is by the grace of God. At the point in time, see, the love and the mercy of God will direct you and I to the point of the cross. When you get to the cross, then grace and faith comes in. How do you get born again? By the heart you believe, by the mouth you confess. Believing and confessing is called faith. And the grace, God's ability he gives, so you get born again. But love and mercy drove you to the cross. Somebody prayed, and that love and mercy brought you to the point of the cross. And at that point, grace and mercy, grace and faith are applied. So for by grace, you are saved. Through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So grace is a gift from God that you need to obtain, because it makes you able to do that which you otherwise couldn't do on your own. Anything, any odd, any challenge that has come against you, which you know you can't fight, you can't handle on your own, tap into grace. The ministry of angels is number one. Number two, tap into grace. Tap into grace. Because we couldn't save ourselves, grace was extended for our salvation. When facing all odds, challenges, tough situations, where your strength is not sufficient, tap into grace. Let's look at a few examples. Let's look at the ministry of Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. Paul. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 9. Look at Paul. He said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me." A messenger of Satan. A thorn in the flesh was given to buffet me, literally to beat me. A lot of theologians still argue whether it was spiritual or physical. Paul says a messenger of Satan was given to beat me. When you are beaten, do you feel it? I love theologians because we argue over nothing. The man says a messenger of Satan was given to beat me. So he was beaten. He felt the beating. So be it. But that's not the point this morning. He said a messenger of Satan was given to me to beat me because of the abundance of revelation, lest I should be exalted above measure. Literally, Paul was saying, because of the revelations God has given me, I came under a barrage of attack and I began to suffer. So he went to God. This is the part that I like. Look at verse 8. So concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord. I pleaded. Literally, he cried, he pleaded with the Lord 3 times. That it might depart from me. Now, you expect Jesus to say, you expect God to say, Paul, you have pleaded, you have asked 3 times. Okay, let me take it away. But what did he say? No. Verse 9. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Paul is facing all odds, facing the beatings of a messenger of Satan. When you have a small demon harassing you, you are crying. Talk to Paul. He said, the messenger of Satan. Satan himself sent him. Go and beat him up. Buffet him. Go and make life tough for him. Let him feel the pain. Hit him hard. Hit him where it hurts. Friends, can I encourage you? Every time you get into the place where you are fulfilling divine destiny and you are walking under great revelation, don't be afraid when the enemy sends a messenger against you. It could be spiritual, could be physical, could be whatever, could be emotional, could be anywhere. The answer is simple. Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Paul, I am not going to take the messenger of Satan away. I've given you an antidote to it. This is like an antibiotics. My grace is sufficient for you. Paul, look for grace. Amen? He said, I've given you grace. There is grace. Instead of asking me to take the messenger of Satan, I am not going to take the messenger of Satan. I'm going to give you grace. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him. And God gives us ways to get out of this. And one of them is grace. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And then what? My strength is made perfect in weakness. Grace is for weak places. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than know that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My grace. For Paul's challenges, heaven's prescription was grace. For your challenges, heaven's prescription is the grace of God. For my challenges, heaven's prescription is the grace of God. Grace is for weak places. Grace is for challenges. What area are you struggling the most? You need an injection of grace. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Knowledge will set you free. Revelation will empower you. Child of God, hear me. Revelation will set you free. Look at the area of weakness. Some people are so afraid of tomorrow. It's a weakness. The grace of God will help you overcome it. Some are impatient. Whatever weakness it is, the grace of God will help you overcome it. You see, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. So, grace is for weak areas. Any area of weakness you find in your life, look for grace. I sought God 3 times, Paul will say, that this messenger of Satan be taken away from me because I was feeling the pain. You know, when you feel pain, you cry. And you say, oh, people say it's a spiritual thing. Oga, the young man was feeling the pain. Pain, pain. And he went to God 3 times. He said, God help me, God help me, God help me. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. You need grace for your marriage. When it feels like the going is tough, go to grace station. I always say, we have gas station for your car, so go to grace station for your life. It's a station you can get grace, and I'll show you. You need grace for weak places. I'm amazed. And every time I look at the scripture, it surprises me that heaven's prescription for Paul's suffering was grace. So now you know grace is not just for salvation. Oh, talk back to me. I know you are asking me a few questions, but Pastor, grace is only for salvation. Okay, now Paul was already saved, right? Oh, talk back to me. I know somebody taught you grace for salvation, grace for salvation. Okay, you learned that already. Now let me add to it. Was Paul already saved by this time? So how come heaven will say, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, if grace was only for salvation? Your Christian journey started with grace, will continue by grace, will end by grace. Grace is God's ability that you need to help you do what you yourself can never do. Anytime you come against an odd, a challenge that you know you can't do by yourself, turn to grace. Every time, turn to grace. Find where grace is and go collect grace. Paul was already born again. In fact, he was an apostle. And God was still telling Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. You look at, even when it comes to Paul's ministry, Romans 1:5, he said, I received grace and apostleship. Romans 1:5. It says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Every ministry to which you've been called, you need grace for that ministry. Paul was an apostle. And he said, God gave him grace and apostleship. You're a pastor, you need grace and pastorship. Is that how you say it? Okay. Blame my English teacher. You're a teacher, you need grace and teachership. You know, I like it. Paul said, I didn't just receive the call to be an apostle, but there was the corresponding grace to go with it. Friends, can I tell you, if you don't want to frustrate yourself in life and ministry, particularly everyone God has called to ministry, hear me well. Go look for grace for the office for which you've been called. Else you will frustrate yourself. The work to which God has called you, you can't do it by your own. You can never do it. But the grace of God is God's ability, God's supernatural power to help you do that which you in yourself can never do. So Paul said, I received grace and apostleship. The two went together. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. It's grace that does the job. In fact, let me move one step further. When Paul was telling us a few things about his ministry, he says something. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Ooh. Ooh. In other words, I am made by grace. Can you say to yourself, I am what I am by the grace? I will be what I will be by grace. I will become all God wants me to become by grace. I can't hear you. I want you to make a faith confession. I am what I am by grace. Grace has made me. Grace will make me. Grace has brought me this far. And grace will lead me home. Now you understand that wonderful hymn? Amazing grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we've already come by grace. It's not just a fine hymn. It's a powerful statement of theology. Paul said, I am what I am by grace. Oh my God. I am what I am by grace. In other words, I am made by grace. You will be what you be by grace. Look for grace. You will overcome every challenge by grace. You overcome every weakness by grace. He said, I am what I am by grace. And then he goes on to say, and his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Paul said, when I was playing instruments, I didn't play it because I just knew how to play, but I played it by grace. When I ushered by grace. When I taught in the nursery, I taught by grace. When I was an intercessor, I interceded by grace. I labored by grace. Whatever I did for God as a life group leader, I did it by grace. It's not I, but the grace. Not I, but the grace. Oh, glory to God. Too many people are suffering and laboring in ministry by themselves. Oh, God, it's not the gifting, it's the grace. It's not even the calling, it's the grace. You need both the call and the grace. Paul said, I labored, but I labored by the grace. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. You see, it's the grace. It's the grace. It's the grace that does the job. So he said, listen, I ministered. I prayed. I labored. But not I. But the grace did it. That is why you can never take glory. Because you didn't do it. The grace did it. Are you hearing me this morning? That's why you go back and say to God, be the glory. Why? He gave the grace. The grace did the work. So not I, but the grace. Life and ministry become so boring and so dry without grace. Don't do anything without grace. Particularly when it comes to the things of God. Don't do it without grace. You will get tired. You will quit. You will give up. Every time somebody quits, it's because that person has run out of grace. It's like when a car is driving, huh? And you see the needle fall on E. And if you're like me, okay. Regina, I say, I won't tell the full story. I love to see how far the thing can go. It gives me a kick. I just enjoy it. You know, and the thing gets to a quarter. The lady is going, please buy gas. I said, it's only a quarter. Let's go. I just love to see how far we can push that thing. You know, I love it. It's fun. Please don't do it, though. Don't do it. For me, it's my little fun that I get. You know, so when I see the things near E, I'm not in a hurry. I just want to see how far I can push the thing. But when it comes to ministry, don't push it far when it gets to E, because you break down. Every time you are empty of grace, you quit. You used to love arranging chairs. All of a sudden, you won't do it anymore. You are not upset. You've run out of grace. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm upset, or I'm tired. You are not tired. You have run out of grace. See, it's like the gas in the car is empty. And no matter what you do, you can't push the car. The car will stop. And that's what it is. So now you understand when Paul said, I labored, but not I, but the grace. So you wonder how come somebody can do the work of God and maintain consistency, can take care of children, can take care of this and do it all the time. The secret is that person has tapped into grace. Because it is the grace that is laboring, not him, the grace. And then you find some, every little thing they complain, I'm tired, I'm busy, I have family this, I have family that. My dear, go get grace. Grace will help you make it through every challenge in life. You need grace. So that's what Paul said. I became what I became by grace. Look at Peter. Let's look at Peter. Jesus told him in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. He said, Peter, and the Lord said to Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. And I'll get to it later. Jesus was literally saying, Simon, I have asked God for grace for you. I have prayed for you because grace comes through prayer. And I'll get there in a moment. He said, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you are returned to me, strengthen your brothers. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I am warning you, your grace gauge is almost empty. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed, I have bought more gas for you. Every time you're praying for somebody, you are praying for more grace into the person's life. That's why you need to pray for one another. And pray for your pastor too, because I need more grace. No, not just when you are going to eat today, but from pastor. It's too short. 15 seconds is not enough. Pray 1 hour for me. Before you beat me up, pray for me first. After you pray for me and I'm not changing, then you can beat me up. If you are not praying for me, you can't beat me up because you haven't prayed. Don't mind me, but still mind me. Do you know what happened? When Jesus was facing the cross, after telling Peter, Peter, I have prayed for you because Satan has desired to sift you. I don't know what Peter did with that instruction. I don't know. But all I do know is that in John 18:10, when they had come to arrest Jesus, Peter pulled a sword and cut off the ear of Marcus, who is the servant of the high priest. The thing was a spiritual warfare. The guy was busy doing it in the flesh. The grace was low. It was so low to the extent when a small girl asked him, Peter, do you belong to Jesus? No, I don't know him. 3 times denied Jesus. Every time you and I deny Christ, it's because the grace is low. Every time we do things that do not befit Christ, it's because the grace is low. And this morning, by grace, we're going to go back to the grace station and pump some grace into your life. And not only that, but I'll show you how to keep pumping grace on a daily basis so you never run out of grace. Am I making sense to you? You know how bad it is when in the cold of winter, your gas gets shut off. It's cold. And the gas is off. Some in the body of Christ are going through winter with their gas shut off. But today we'll turn on the gas. You will get enough gas again. You will revive. You'll be revived again by grace. What you need is grace. You got born again by grace, and many of us left grace at the point of born again. We left it there. But we're supposed to carry it through life. Look at Jesus, and I'll conclude with this. Look at Jesus. We looked at Paul, we looked at Peter. Now let's look at Jesus. One part that amazes me is when he faced the biggest challenge. And what was the greatest challenge in Christ's ministry? What was his biggest challenge when he was on earth? The cross. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. A scripture that I want to recommend for your meditation this week. Hebrews 2:9. Please meditate on this scripture this week. If you have no scripture to meditate on, feed on this. Let's read it together. Very interesting scripture. Look at it. It said, go. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. How did Jesus taste death? No, look at it and tell me. How did he carry the cross? Oh, I can't hear you. Somebody told you grace was only for salvation, huh? How did Jesus carry the cross? Look at it and tell me. I want to hear you. How did he carry the cross? That he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. If Jesus tasted death by grace and overcame the biggest challenge by grace, then what? How are you going to overcome your challenge? By grace. And so I'm very shy. I don't know how to speak. You can overcome that by grace. I can't do ministry. No, you can do it by grace. I don't know how to sing. Yes, you can sing by grace. Oh, my husband is so tough. Yes, you can handle him by grace. My wife is, you have no idea. Okay, you can handle her by grace. My children are incorrigible. Hey, you can handle them by grace. If Jesus tasted death by grace, you would taste everything by grace. Ministry is so difficult. Oh God, no. You can handle it by grace. Jesus tasted death by grace. This scripture rocks the very core of my heart. The Bible says, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angel just for the suffering of the cross. Adapt just a momentary kenosis, we call in theology. He left aside his glory. He laid aside his glory. Kenosis. He went through laying aside his glory for a moment and became man. And yet, 100% God. 100% man, 100% God. But while on earth, he never drew on his powers of deity. He walked on earth like a man, so that you and I will have an example. If he had walked on earth like God, it would be unfair for him to say, what I've done, you do also. Because we'll say, Oga, the platform is not fair. But he said, I'm going to my Father, and what I did, you will do also, and even greater. John 14:12. He said, greater things you will do. Why? I was only here for 3 years. You guys will be here longer than 3 years, so do more. Glory to God. But he tasted death by grace. How are you going to taste every challenge that comes your way? How are you going to taste every difficulty that comes your way? How are you going to taste every order you face? Every challenge you face, how are you going to deal with it? If Jesus did it by grace, how will you do it? He is a master example. If he did it by grace, how will you do it? He told Paul, Paul, I am not going to take that messenger of Satan away. I won't take him away. I've given you what it takes to handle him. It's by grace. He tested death by grace. So now you see why there was a difference between his response and that of his disciples. He carried the cross by grace, suffered by grace. He won the victory by grace. While Jesus was obtaining grace, his disciples were busy sleeping. Can I tell you something? Your biggest enemy to getting grace is a small five-letter word called sleep. S-L-E-E-P. You either sleep or you obtain grace. Matthew 26. Pick it up from verse 36. See, Jesus in the Gethsemane. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. When we go to Israel, we'll visit Gethsemane. It's a garden of grapes. And said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. You know why? The note is given to us that he actually took Peter with him because of the reference to Peter. We will be able to understand why he drew the sword. He brought all 12. He said, out of the 12, I know 9 of you. No matter what I say, you will sleep. Even if I cut off my head, you will sleep. Oga, don't contract your prayer to anybody. It's not everyone who pray for you. I learned long time ago in ministry to pray for myself. So I labor in prayer by the grace of God for hours on a daily basis. And I've done that for years. Yesterday, the women were laughing at me. I told Regina, you were not fair. When you were getting up to come and pray, I was not coming to bed. Because I was up at 2 to pray. And I went to bed at 5:30. And she woke up at 5:30 to come and pray at 6. She said, see you in church. I said, okay. And sleep took the rest. When I woke up, it was 9. I saw so many text messages. I said, forget it, guys. I said, when I was coming to sleep, you were getting up. So what time are we supposed to rest? But, you know, I still believed I would be here. So she said, I'm forgiving. Thank God for forgiveness. While Jesus was busy obtaining grace, the disciples were busy sleeping. He brought 12. He left 9. No, watch this. Watch this. He left 9 in one corner. I always ask myself, how come he left the 9 there? He knew no matter what he did, those guys would sleep anyway. But Peter, James, and John, he brought the 3. Further. So 9, 3. The 3, he told them. You see, the 9, he said, sit here while I go and pray. You know, he never asked the 9 to pray. When you wake up, you get the message. You're always telling everybody, please pray for me, please. Hey, they won't pray for you. Pray for yourself. Learn to intercede. Everyone, I'm praying for you, it's a lie. Thank God for prayer warriors. I love prayer warriors. The name itself tells you they are warrior in prayer. By the time they pray for themselves, there'll be very little time for you. Oh God, learn to pray for yourself. Oh, I'm telling you, just take my advice. Learn to go to the place of prayer. Learn to go to Gethsemane and lock in with God all by yourself. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I know pastors who actually hire people to pray for them. I know. And I will say, brother, what if they don't pray? How are you going to measure the effectiveness of prayer? And it's good to pray for me. But when you wire power into this building and I don't connect to it, I won't have power to flow. People can pray for you all they want. You need to connect also in prayer, even for that to flow. All I'm trying to do is to challenge you to prayer. That's all. And forget relying on everybody's prayer. It's almost like being lazy a little bit, you know. I pray. My mother is praying for me. Pray for yourself. Teach your children to pray. Teach them to see God themselves. 9, he left there. He said, sit here while I go and pray. I'm finishing. And then he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. To the three, this is what Jesus said. He showed them his heart. He said, I am actually facing an odd. I am sorrowful. I am distressed. I'm in trouble. You know, it's not everybody you can open your heart to. You know, be careful. Don't open your heart to the 9. Open your heart to the 3. God always give you a 3 around you. All right. And he opened his heart to the 3. And he said to them, I am deeply distressed and sorrowful. And then he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Do you know he actually pleaded with the 3? Please pray with me. He pleaded with them. He shared the prayer topic. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Sit here and watch with me. Now what happened? So the 9, the 3, and the 1, he himself. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass by me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. In fact, John tells he prayed so much. Or Luke actually tells us he prayed so much until his sweat became like drops of blood. So not, oh, Father, if it be, let this cup. No. In Hebrews, we are told that he groaned, he prayed, the man prayed. He cried, he was facing death, so he prayed his heart out. There are times when you need to be alone to seek God. Okay, you are not hearing me, are you? Okay. It's not every time you need to hang around everybody, fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. No. Sometimes take a pair of scissors, cut the fellowship. You alone go to the place. Go into the inner sanctuary and find God. There are times you need to step away from everything and everybody. Go find God for yourself. And the Bible says he tasted death by grace. So Jesus agonized, tasting death by grace. And he prayed and prayed. And then he came back to check on the 3. So he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, where was Peter? Was he among the 9 or the 3? The 3. So he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? You know why, Peter? Jesus knew what was coming. He had warned him, Satan has desired to sift you. You thought Peter will be awake. I've received a warning from the master. I'm on the radar for the devil. The master says I should pray. No, the man slept. I pray that your sleep will be disturbed in Jesus' name. And not disturbed by the devil, but disturbed by the Holy Spirit. So you wake up and pray. I pray, in fact, I'm praying this morning that your sleep will be disturbed by God. When you go to bed, may he wake you up. I didn't hear amen. Amen. May he wake you up. And when he wakes you up, may you never find sleep until you find solace in his presence. Because somehow, when the enemy is about to ruffle you and sift you as wheat and is warning you in your spirit, we are always too busy to sleep because sleep is so sweet. But go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. A little sleep, a little slumber, then your poverty will come upon you like an armed robber. No, Proverbs 6, right? Okay, somewhere there. I'm praying some dangerous prayers for you today. And when you can't sleep, don't wake your wife up. Don't wake your husband up. Go wake God up. Thank God, God doesn't sleep nor slumber anyway. Hallelujah. Jesus was now agonizing. And you know, every time I think about it, I said, but how come he never went back to the 9? Because he knew they wouldn't pray. He trusted the 3 to pray. He actually believed Peter would believe his prophecy. If you believe every prophecy you give, people will speak it or believe it, forget it. Even Jesus' prophecy and word of wisdom to Peter, he ignored it. The man slept. So, when the time came for grace to be put to work, he had no grace. And so he relied on his natural strength. Every time you rely on your natural strength, your grace is gone. So they came to arrest Jesus. The guy draws a sword. Do you know what Jesus said? Peter, put back your sword. If I had come for a fight, I could have called my father to give me legions of angels. I had warned you to get grace. You didn't get it. A little girl confronts him. He denies him. No, I'm no longer a member of TLC. No, I don't even know Christ. No, I don't. Your grace is gone. Grace is finished, but this morning you will go back to the place of grace and obtain grace. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, Paul said. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Acts 20. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to keep you. Oh, glory to God. He said, I commend you to God. So now, brethren, I commend you to God, Acts 20:32, and to the word of his grace. I'm teaching you the word of his grace. What would the word of his grace do? It is able to keep you. When grace is gone, you resort to the flesh. You react in the flesh. You talk in the flesh. You minister in the flesh. When the pulpit has no grace, it ministers in the flesh. But I thank God and I pray God and I believe God and I rely on God that this pulpit and everyone who stands here will minister out of the abundance of grace. Because the grace of God is there to keep you. When grace is there, you never run dry. You can never run out because the grace of God is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness, Paul. My grace is enough for you. My grace is enough for you, Paul. My grace is enough for you. You either struggle to pray or you struggle with everything else in life. Now, I want you to repeat that after me. Say, I either struggle to pray. Oh, God, can you write that on the screen for me so they can write it home? Say, I either struggle to pray or struggle with everything else in life. You ask Regina, when I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm going to pray. You think it's easy? I purposely do it. I jump off the bed just to wake her up so she know I'm going to pray. So to convict her to pray, but she won't mind me. But I jump off the bed and sleep will tell you, and you really need, you have a long day ahead of you. And at that moment, you need to tell your mind, tell the devil, I either struggle to pray or I will struggle with everything else in life. Jump up. If you need to coffee yourself, coffee yourself. If you need to tea yourself, tea yourself. Whatever it takes, my dear, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. That is to say, grace comes from prayer. Every time you pray, you are obtaining grace. And I conclude with this. How do you obtain grace? Grace comes by prayer. How do you get grace? Grace comes by prayer. And we see Jesus, our example. He left the 9 there, talked to the 3. He believed the 3 will actually stand by him because he had actually warned Peter. He knew even that if the 2 would sleep, Peter would keep them awake. You know, Peter was, you know, the macho man there. But the macho man himself slept. And every time Jesus came, he addressed Peter. Peter, I asked you, Peter, you couldn't even watch for 1 hour. In other words, minimum time that you should seek God. Minimum 1 hour a day. He said, Peter, you couldn't watch for 1 hour? Okay, you are looking at me. 1 hour is too long. All right. If you believe in the process of tithing, you have 24 hours a day. Give God a tithe of your day. How about that? Why are you looking at me like that? Can you give God a tithe of your day? 2 hours, 40 minutes. Why are you looking at me? Is it too long? Okay, all right, let me jump from the subject before they beat me up. Grace comes by prayer. Let me quickly conclude. How do you obtain grace? You obtain grace by prayer. While Jesus obtained grace, the disciples slept. You know why Jabez went to God? 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Bible says, and Jabez called on God. You know what Jabez did? He was obtaining grace. And Bible says, God heard him. He had an odd. He had a problem. He had a weakness. His name was against him. His reputation was against him. Things were not gelling. And he said, oh God, bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be upon me that I may be a blessing, not a pain. Bible says, and God granted him. He reobtained grace. Let me give you another scripture for your meditation this week. I've given you two. Hebrews 2:9. The other one is Hebrews 4:16. These two scriptures will help you as you meditate this week. And then get ready. I'm going to take you to the grace station. Let us therefore, let's read this scripture together to help us. Go. Let us therefore, come how? To where? To the, my goodness. Who sits on the throne of grace? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may what? That we may obtain grace, we may obtain mercy and find what? Find grace to do what? Help in time of need. Now you know grace is not just for salvation. After you are born again, you still have needs. You still have challenges. And the Bible says, obtain grace for your need. Obtain grace for your need. You know, even when it comes to poverty, even poverty, Jesus overcame poverty by grace. 2 Corinthians 8:9, I believe. 2 Corinthians 8:9. He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Even that, you want to break the power of poverty, it is grace. He said, but you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace that was upon our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, he became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich. He took the grace of God. So you can even break the back of poverty by grace. And let me conclude with this scripture. Hebrews 2 Corinthians 9:8, the opposite. 9:8 says, for God is able to make all grace. And God is able to make all grace. There's something called all grace. Ooh. Grace for every area. Grace a la carte. All grace. God is able to make all grace. Meditate on this scripture too, so you have three. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. All grace will give you abundance for every good work. All grace. And Bible says God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So you, having all sufficiency, will abound to every good work. Friends, grace comes from Jesus. So go to Jesus for grace. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you go to John 1:14. He said, Jesus is what? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. So Jesus is full of grace and truth. So every time you fellowship with Jesus, you are going to the grace station. Glory to God. Every time you fellowship with Jesus, he's full of grace. The gas station is full of gas. So when you go to the gas station, you get gas. Jesus is full of grace. When you go to Jesus, you go to the grace station. Fellowship with Jesus. Learn to fellowship with Jesus. Learn to walk with him. I like the hymn which says, I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ears, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. One of the greatest hymns of hymnody. This hymn, I love it dearly. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, learn to tarry there. He said, none other has ever known. These days, we go to the place to fellowship with Jesus. We are in a hurry to just in and out. It's like fast food, fast prayer, fast church, fast everything. Tarry there with him. Tarry. He said, you couldn't even tarry with me for 1 hour. Tarry. Learn to, you see, when you go, make time to get grace. Schedule it into your day. Tell yourself, from this time to this time, I'm going to obtain grace and I'm going to cut off an hour and sit in his presence and fellowship with Jesus and worship him and hear his word and talk to him. By the time you leave, an angel that came to strengthen Jesus, that same angel will come to strengthen you. Bible says he prayed and prayed and prayed until an angel came to strengthen him. Then he obtained grace and then he tasted death by grace. Glory to God. Jesus is full of grace. Verse 17 of John 1, then I conclude. 17 of John 1, what does it say? For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus. Jesus is full of grace. Full of grace. Shall we please stand? This morning, I wish as many of you that will say, Lord, I need grace. And I'm not just going to walk out of here without grace, but I'm tapping into your grace. 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 Can you confess with me? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus tasted death by grace. So I will taste every challenge by grace. I overcome every challenge by grace. I will boldly go to the throne of grace. To obtain grace, for God is able to make all grace abound towards me. I will overcome by grace. By grace I have come. By grace I'll make it home. By grace I'm moving forward. By grace I'm going through every challenge. By grace I'm moving on in ministry. By grace, by grace, by grace. In fact, you go to Zechariah chapter 4. I want you to put it on the screen. But don't worry, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. He said, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. Go to verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts. With shouts of grace, grace. He said, hey, you will do the impossible with a shout of grace. Ha. Oh, Lord, help me. You will do the impossible with a shout of grace. Glory to God. Amen. Sing grace, how sweet the sound that saves.